Exodus chapter 15 and verse 22 says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah." If you could just bow your heads one more time. Lord, we ask you to anoint this message. Lord, we ask, oh God, that the words that I speak will be your words, that it will touch hearts, that it will encourage, that it will lift up, that it will bless. We just ask for your presence and your anointing right now. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you're seated, shake someone's hand and say, "Bless, Lord." Amen. You may be seated. Amen. The title of my message today is called "The Waters of Marah," or Marah. And the story was, as you know, very early on in their departure from Egypt, they had come to the Red Sea. 6 days after leaving Egypt, thousands and thousands of Israelites camped in front of the Red Sea. God had led them there. If you read the story very carefully, God had led them to the Red Sea. I don't know what you're facing in your life today, but if you have been led by God, if you're at the Red Sea, God led you there. Behind them, Pharaoh and his army had decided that it was a bad idea to let them go. That it was a bad idea to free the Israelites. So he had sent his army to come and follow them. And there they were, encamped by the Red Sea. And you all know the story very well. I'm not preaching about the parting of the Red Sea today. Behind them came the army. On their left and their right were mountains. They were trapped. They were trapped. They looked like they were headed for destruction. That they were headed for a certain death. The Bible says that there were over 600,000 men. So if you multiply that by another two or three, there could have been more than 2 million. 2 million women and children and men. Helpless, trapped before the Red Sea with Pharaoh and his chariots. In those days, Egypt was the ruling world power. He was coming to capture, to kill, and to destroy. And you know the story how God gave them a miraculous deliverance. Moses went up and he held out his rod and the waters parted. And they started to cross. But that alone would not have been enough to save them. Because Pharaoh thought he could also cross. But you know what? The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. It came from in front of them and went behind them. You know what that reminds me of? Psalms 23. "Surely goodness and mercy shall do what? Follow me." The Lord became their goodness and he became their mercy. Because behind them now, the pillar of fire stopped Pharaoh from following them. Instead of leading them, goodness and mercy was behind them. And it took one day, 24 hours, according to scripture. Now the world says that's impossible. You can't get that many people across. Well, I don't care what the world says. I know what the Bible says. That in one day the children of Israel crossed over. And when they crossed over, they had a rejoicing. Because then the pillar of fire and the cloud moved. And Pharaoh thought, well, because they did it, we can do it too. And he ran into the water. Now remember in Sunday school I said water can do two things. It can save or it can destroy. And in this case it was the judgment of God that fell. And God removed those walls and the water came and destroyed Pharaoh and his army. And the children of Israel were so happy. They were so rejoicing. They sang songs. They couldn't believe what had just happened. They couldn't believe how close they came to destruction. And yet here comes God and does it one more time. One more time he came through, and goodness and mercy followed them. David knew it in the Psalms. He said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Then he goes on to say, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me." It was the mercy of God that they were not destroyed. And now they crossed over into the border of the wilderness. This story was very early in their journey to get to the promised land. And you know, just like us, when you've just had a great victory, God has done something wonderful for you, you forget that you still have the wilderness in front of you. You forget that there are still battles yet to be fought. You forget that you haven't arrived, you have just begun. This was the beginning of their journey. Yes, it started with a great miracle. And they were so happy. But they forgot that this was just the beginning. And some people would say it was the end of the beginning. This was just the start of their journey to the promised land. And so they headed out now into the wilderness. They started to go out into the wilderness. And the Bible tells us the name of this particular place. It was called the Wilderness of Shur. And those of you who were in Sunday school will recognize where you heard that before. Where you heard that name before, because it was the same place a few hundred years earlier that Hagar had run into. The Wilderness of Shur. Isn't it amazing how God just puts certain things together that you don't really realize until you really start to meditate upon the Word? Because they went 3 days' journey into the wilderness. And then the Bible says that they found no water. Which is not surprising because it was a desert. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. And they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. So I can imagine after the second day now, the glow of this victory has started to wear up. Okay, that was great, Lord. You help us defeat Pharaoh. But like most of us, it's what have you done for me lately? What have you done for me lately? Yeah, I know you got me through that rejoicing. That was last week's Sunday you blessed me. That was last week you gave me the job, but now I have some other bills. Now I have some other sickness. What have you done for me lately? Only 3 days. Only 3 days after seeing water part. Water part. And Pharaoh's armies get destroyed. They start to forget who it is and what it is they're doing. And they go into this wilderness of Shur. And they can't find any water. So like most of us, they start to grumble.
Man, this old Moses, I don't know what he was thinking when he was out here. I mean,
they started to murmur and complain. And they forgot what God had just done for them. They forgot the 10 miracles in Egypt. The last miracle of how the blood applied to the door saved the firstborn. How if the Egyptians had just loaded them up with gold and silver and said, "Go, get out of here." They forgot what God had done. And now they're in this desert place where there is no water. And they start to grumble and murmur. And then someone, maybe the scout that they send ahead, spots some water. And I can imagine that there's a great rejoicing in the camp. It's okay, there's some water out here. And so the camp starts to make towards the water. They come to this place where there's quite a lot of water. It's called Marah. But there's a catch. When they go to drink the water, it's bitter. They can't drink it. It can't be taken in. It can't even feed their livestock because the water is bitter. And the Bible says that they started to murmur. We contrast that with chapter 15, verse 1. If you go to the first verse, we see what they were doing immediately after the battle. After Moses had helped them cross through holding up the rod and obeying God, you see them in a spirit of rejoicing. They were singing songs. They were doing like we were doing. But tomorrow morning, when you head out into the wilderness of Shur, and you come to your own particular lack of water, whatever that is, maybe it's the job, maybe it's a sickness, will you have forgotten what God has done for you? It says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. They were so happy that God had destroyed the Israelites. They were in a praising mood. Gloriously, the horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength. Today we're singing and we're praising God. By Wednesday, 3 days' journey from now, when you think you see some good things coming and it turns out to be some bitter water, maybe there's a jerk at work that's getting on your nerves. Maybe it's their supervisor. Maybe you've been turned down for something. Maybe it's a sickness. You've just come off of a great victory, a great blessing. You've just been singing some songs of praise. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. 3 days later, you know what this reminds me of? Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey.
Yes.
Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Oh, yet 3 days later, crucify him. Crucify him. You know, it must have been some of the same people.
Yes.
No doubt it was some. You know what they thought? They thought he was coming to establish the kingdom. You know what turns us bitter? You know what turns our life bitter? When an expectation doesn't come through. They saw this water and they thought, okay, we're okay. But when they got to taste it, it was bitter. They had just come off of a great victory. That's when, as a Christian, you need to be the most careful. That's when you need to be the most careful. It's just when God has done something great for you. You know, because we get wild. Okay, this is it. I've made it. I'm in heaven now. Everything is plain sailing from here. But then you go out into the wilderness of Shur. And you see something that looks like an oasis. And it turns out to be some bitter water. The same people who cried Hosanna, I believe, were some of the same people who cried crucify. You know what? He had not met their expectation. He had not come and thrown the Romans out and supernaturally called down fire and destroyed the Romans and set up the kingdom. They thought this was it. Here comes our Messiah to set up the kingdom. See, what turns people bitter is when they expect something and it doesn't happen. When we expect something and it doesn't happen. When we don't have the patience to see it through and we forget of what we've already been through. And we start to get bitter. You know, we start to look around to blame people. Well, it was because of them, and it was because of this one, and it was because they did that to me. And they should be doing it. Don't they know who I am? Don't they know what I've done for them? Don't they know how I helped them? And now look what they've done to me. And when I'm in trouble, I got no friends. You're looking at the waters of Marah, and you're getting bitter. You're tasting it and it doesn't taste sweet. It's not what you thought it was going to be. You see, it's when you're at your greatest victory that you need to watch out. Because Satan, the Bible says, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking to devour them. Hallelujah. We're not looking out for him. You see, when we're at our most victorious is when Satan will say, okay, I'll give him 3 days. I'll give him 3 days. When the glow is worn off, I'll come, I'll bring them some fake blessing. I'm going to show some fake deliverance. And there's nothing that will hurt you more than when you think you see something good coming. And then, you know, God, I don't understand what you're doing. Why did you bring us out into this wilderness to die? Why did you bring us to this place to die? You just delivered us. I can't understand what's going on in my life. You just saved us from Pharaoh. You know, that's the thought you should hang on to. Because if he has brought you this far, he has not brought you out here to die. If he brought you to Milwaukee, if he brought you to this church, it's not because he wants you to die. It's because he has a plan for your life. It was God that led them in the wilderness of Shur. It was the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that took them in that direction. Surely he that hath begun a good work in you, he can complete. But we get so fearful and we get so unbelieving and so doubtful that we start to question God. We start to get bitter. And we start to wonder, was this really God? Was he really leading me in this direction? Is this what he really wants me to do? And we get all kind of scared and bitter. Those of you who are in Sunday school, I told the story of Hagar. And in the book of Genesis, she had gotten bitter. She had become the surrogate mother to Abraham's child, Ishmael. And because of that, Sarai at that time had gotten mad at her and started to, you know, give her a hard time. And she ran away. And where did she run to? She ran to the wilderness of Shur. Now that can't be a coincidence. Now, you may not know what the word Shur means, but it means a wall. A wall. You may have run into the wilderness of Shur and you're up against a wall. And you think, what has happened to my life? God, I thought the things that you started when I was young, I had so much promise, so much blessing, so much direction. And here I am out in the wilderness and it's so hard. And there's no water. And I thought I saw some light. Turned out to be a train coming the other way. And we can tend to get bitter. And we can tend to think that God has left us. And we start to murmur. Get angry at God. Have you prayed for something and it didn't happen? The devil will come. Maybe God doesn't love you. Maybe God doesn't love you. He's brought you out here to curse you, not bless you. You know, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. See, bitterness comes when we get expecting something. You know, if you don't expect something, you can't be disappointed. You can't be disappointed. You're not expecting, but it's when we think we just come off of victory and we think, okay, I've got it made. Everything's laid out. The plan is going to work out. It's just plain sailing from here. That's what the devil likes, because he's setting you up, is what he's doing. Because they hadn't realized that they still had a fight. They had some ways to go. They had not achieved the promised land yet. All they had done was left Egypt. Many times when we've got a blessing, when we've come into church and God has saved us, all we've done is left Egypt. We haven't arrived yet. Paul said, I press towards the mark of the high calling. It's not as if I have yet attained, but I press. It's a fight. But you see, the devil will get our expectations up, the thinking, okay, now the Lord has done this for me, it's going to be plain sailing. And we're going out into the wilderness of Shur. If we turn to Genesis chapter 16, verse 7, we see the story of Hagar. And she ran away in bitterness too. But you see, there was something in about this place that was unusual. Because even though it was a desert, even though it was a wilderness, there was a fountain there. Look at this. Genesis 16, verse 7. She's out in the middle of this wilderness, but there's a fountain in the wilderness of Shur. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water. In the same place, the same desert of Shur, where hundreds of years later, here come the children of Israel. But they find the water, but it's bitter. They haven't found the secret to the fountain. The angel of the Lord found her by this fountain in the same place, at the wall in the desert of Shur. Now, I don't believe the Lord does anything for coincidence. There was a symbol and there was a plan in this. He leadeth me besides the still waters. The reason why this Mara was probably bitter was it had become stagnant. It had become still waters. There was no spring flowing to it. The fountain that had been there hundreds of years ago may have disappeared or something had happened because it wasn't the same place. It had now become bitter water. Bitter water. And we find that the angel, though, had found Hagar by the fountain. And he told her, don't worry about it. Go back to your master because the Lord is still with you. See, there was a difference in the time of Hagar that there was in the time of Moses and the children of Israel. One time they went out there and there was a fountain. Hundreds of years later they came and the fountain had disappeared and it was bitter water. Bitter water. But you see, God always has a plan. God always has a plan. Exodus 15:25. You see, if you're in trouble and you have God, you know where to go.
You are never alone. Hallelujah.
And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And I talked about this before. They were in the wilderness of Shur, the wilderness of a wall. And there was no water, but there was a tree. That by itself tells you there was something miraculous going on here. Because they're in the desert place. And the way it sounds like it is there was this lone one tree. Because it just says there was a tree. It doesn't say there was a forest or a grove. It says there was a tree. And God told Moses, he said, I want you to take something off that tree, a branch off that tree, and cast it into the waters. And when he did that, the waters were made sweet. Marah was changed into Mayim, which is Hebrew for water, sweet water, living water. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. See, this was all a test. This was a test of their faith, because when you come off one victory, be sure that until we get to heaven, there's yet one more battle for you to fight. This is a journey, not a destination. None of us have arrived, but we are all pressing. And the thing to do is to watch out that Satan doesn't let you get to the bitter waters. Don't start to get bitter because your expectation hasn't been met. But look around for the branch. If you have come into a situation and there is no way out, you're facing a wall, you're in the desert of Shur, look around for the branch. Look around for the branch, because it's the branch that will make your water sweet. Now you all know that 2,000 years later, the angel came to this young teenager named Mary. And you all know too that her name means Mara, bitter. Bitter, that's what Mary means. Now it's surprising to me why someone would name their child bitter. But that's what they named, and it was a common name in those days. My only thought, and this is just me thinking now, it was because of the oppression of the Romans. People in those days used to name their children after situations, after circumstances. I don't know why she was called bitter. I don't think it was necessarily her disposition, but that was her name. That was her name, Mary, which means bitter. Luke chapter 2, 35. When the angel came to Mary, he told her that her life was not going to be easy. That just because she was chosen, this did not mean that she wasn't going to be in a wilderness. Because God has chosen you, because he has delivered you from the Red Sea, you may still have to walk out into the wilderness of Shur. You may be facing some walls. You may have just gotten delivered out of Pharaoh's grasp, but you are still going on a journey. The angel Gabriel said unto her, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You know, when something pierces you, that hurts. That hurts. I don't know if Mary could have gotten bigger. I think she could have gotten bigger. When she looked back on her life and said, well, what good was this bearing the Messiah to me? What blessing did it bring to me? The Bible doesn't indicate that they were ever rich. They were ever, you know, living in palaces. She could have gotten bitter the fact that her son was going to be taken away from her. That he was going to be crucified on the cross. She could have gotten bitter. But there's one thing that changes the bitter into the sweet. And that's the branch. That's the branch. Zechariah chapter 3 verse 8 gives us the explanation, gives us the model for how you can turn your bitter waters into sweet. The prophet Zechariah was given a revelation. Hear now, O Joshua. Now look at this. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, what?
The branch.
The branch. It was the branch of the tree in the desert that made the water sweet. It was Jesus Christ coming into Mary's womb that changed Mary, Mara, from being bitter into sweet. Hallelujah. I don't know if you can see that if you are facing some bitter waters, you need the branch today. You need Jesus Christ, because that's the only thing that can change your disappointment, take away your hurt,
stop you looking at other people and make you sleep. Amen. A Christian, if you have the branch, I can tell those that have the branch who have not the branch. And if you haven't got the branch, get some more. If you've used up your branch, you know the one thing about that tree, it bears. Jesus is the tree of life. And it bears 12 manner of fruits for the healings of the nation. You can always go up and pick a fruit. If you need some comfort, there's a comfort fruit for you. You know, they speak about comfort foods. Mine is chocolate. I love chocolate. But Jesus is the ultimate comfort fruit. Amen. The Bible says that the wisdom is a tree of life. And it's the branch that can take away your bitterness. The Bible also speaks about don't let a root of bitterness spring up in you. Even us Christians can get bitter. And it will kill your Christian walk. It will kill your life. It will kill your soul. Because we have these expectations. We think God has called us to be whatever. Bishop. You know, whatever. Missionary. And because it hasn't happened right yet, we start to get bitter. We prayed about a job. We prayed about finances. It hasn't happened yet. You know what? You're on your 3-day journey. You're facing the wall, the wilderness of Shur. But believe this, there is a fountain. It may be buried because Hagar found it. And guess what? As I taught in the Sunday school, it's where the Lord likes to show up. At a fountain, at a well. Rehoboth. Hallelujah. It's where God likes to show up. It's where there is a lack that he can show up and show forth. All you need is to make sure you listen and find the tree. You get hold of that branch, which is Jesus Christ. Throw it into your bitter water, your bitter circumstance, and watch God turn your circumstance sweet. He can change an ugly situation, a hopeless situation, a situation that doesn't look like anything good can come of it. When Nathanael heard about Jesus, and I've said this before, he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know, can anything good come out of Milwaukee? Yes, if it's the branch. Milwaukee may be a place going through crisis. Maybe there's all kinds of crime, as you all know, all kinds of disasters. We just had that shooting not too far from here. And it looks a hopeless situation. It looks like there's a wall, that we are walled off from blessing. But remember this, there is a fountain. There is a fountain. It was the same place where Haggai went out into the desert. And when she went, she found the angel of the Lord. I'm telling you today, if you will take the branch and throw it into your bitter situation, he can make your bitter water sweet. He can change your circumstance. He can give you new life. He can take you to the next battle. He can take you through. He can give you living water. Hallelujah. Now, this may not be a shouting message, but it's a true word. Amen. John 15:4, and this is going to be a short message. Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. You see, a lot of people think that they can get through their bitter circumstance outside of Jesus. But unless they come into the vine, which is the root, the place where all the branches adhere to, you can't get no sustenance. It will not turn your bitter water sweet, but you'll just be stirring up the mud. A lot of people think that they have the branch, but it's a dried up stick. Because if that branch didn't come from a living tree, all you're doing is stirring up the mud. That's all you're doing. It will not change your circumstance. But if you will get the living water, you can have it through the branch that has come off the living tree. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can he, except he abide in me. Life is nothing but a series of crises, of battles, of circumstances, of wilderness journeys, of facing some walls. But just like when they crossed over into Jericho, the same thing happened. This time it was a city with a wall.
And this time, they shouted praise. We talked about that last week. And the walls came down. You see, it's a combination of praising God and taking Jesus Christ, the branch, into your situation that will turn your circumstance from bitterness to sweetness. Hallelujah. Let's stand today. Said I wasn't going to be long. I'm going to be short and sweet. God is so amazing how He showed that even in the wilderness of Shur, there had been a fountain, but they had not found it. They had come expecting water, and it looked so beautiful, I'm sure. When they came up to it and tried to drink it, it was bitter, but there was a tree. Look around in your life, because Jesus Christ is the branch. He came into Mary's womb, and He changed Mary from Mara into something sweet. She was blessed. Thou art who art highly exalted above all women. A bitter name does not need to end up as a bitter outcome. A bitter circumstance does not need to end in your death. They could have died out in that wilderness, not having any water. But it was God's plan to show them how Jesus Christ, the branch, put into some bitter circumstance, can change your life. Today, after this service, we're going to have a baptism. Someone is going to take on the name of Jesus Christ. They're going to have that branch applied to their life. That doesn't mean there won't be another battle, another war. But the Bible says, I will never leave you.
If you've enjoyed this message and would like to hear more, please contact Pastor Mike at 414-755-2296. If you would prefer to contact us by email, our email address is pastor@rehobothnewlife.com. We would be glad to hear from you. May the Lord continue to bless you.